Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Good morning, saints. Can we greet all of our streamers? Welcome in Jesus' name. Welcome today. I hope you're ready for a feast today. Beloved, we're going to begin a new series today called Life in the Excluded Middle. What does that mean? Tune in and stay with us. Beloved, it's so important to know where we are. Have you ever been at the mall and you're lost and you go to that little map and it says you are here? Well, sometimes it's so important, especially in our time, in the church world and in the political culture and everything that's buzzing and flying around, to know where are we right now? Well, you are gloriously in the excluded middle. Okay, we're going to take the offering and leave. Sandra, come in, honey. Where are we in the map of the mall of our life? Well, beloved, we're going to find out today. Did you know it's so important that as Christians we interpret the signs of the times? Jesus said to the leaders of his day, the religious leaders, how is it that you know the minute a new moon is going to appear for the Sabbath, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? You don't realize I'm the Messiah. I am God in human flesh. I'm the fulfillment of every promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you're a stickler on tithing every tenth seed. So we as believers need to be well-rounded in understanding the signs the times. The Lord is going to give us a vision today. We're going to look at the book of Psalms today. It's the largest book in the Bible. It's 150 chapters of real life. If you want to know about real life, the 150 Psalms, not only written by David, but by a plethora of others, are slices of life in God's Word to teach us how to live in every season of our life. And may God give us the grace to be able to interpret properly the season that we're in right now. So today we're going to talk about, you know, the Lord is dismantling a lot of things. You know, 587 BC was a very significant date in the history of Israel. It was the day and the time when God dismantled the old world that the people of God were absolutely used to. Has God been ever dismantling anything? People, places, and things that were your point of security. You thought by this age you'd be here, or you thought all kinds of things. I think all kinds of things all the time, and the Lord is constantly calling me to keep open hands because we need to be able to relinquish in a moment everything that has been formerly so safe, so certain, so permanent. The children of Israel in 587 BC had sinned in such a way that the Lord was dismantling their certain world. We're talking about the temple was removed. The Davidic dynasty was removed. Their land was removed. I mean, everything that had become so certain and foundational for them, the Lord asked them to relinquish. Now, I know it's like reading the Bible. We say, well, God asked them to do that, but he's certainly not going to dismantle my world. Well, beloved, we are living in an interesting time, and the Lord is calling us to relinquish anything, anything at all. And we have to have open hands. Amen. We don't want to have clenched fists. We're all recovering graspers. We tend to grasp and hold on and find our identity in terms of what we control. Well, the Lord calls us to be open-handed, that we can relinquish at any moment something that seems so certain, so important, so significant, Sometimes we even root our identities in things that aren't really who we are. And Jesus says, I'd like that mask back too. So we're going to have to learn to edit things. But you know, one thing I've learned growing in Christ is I have to hold loosely to people, places, and things. And beloved, today we're going to look at three types of psalms. Of the 150 psalms, there are three types of psalms that are going to introduce us, I believe, to a proper understanding of where we are on the map, the mall of our life right now, in the church world and in the world as a whole. There are psalms of orientation, psalms of disorientation, and psalms of reorientation. You say, well, Craig, what are we talking about? Psalms of orientation. Let me give you an example of one of those. Psalm 145. David said, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell me of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you. Your faithful people extol you. And we go on and on with a beautiful psalm of orientation. What is a psalm of orientation? Well, psalms of orientation, like Psalm 145, are psalms when the world makes sense, when God is present, when everything is as it should be, when life is predictable and reliable, when good is good and evil is evil and black is black and white is white, when right is right, wrong is wrong, nothing is amiss. Everything is wonderful. The blessing of the Lord, he's blessing the righteous, he's punishing the wicked. It all seems well. The universe is running the way God intended it to. And the implication is that if you believe the right things and behave the right way, you're always going to be blessed like this. There's an absence of tension of any kind. Nothing is gray. Everything is perfect clarity. And the resulting response is worship. This is when everything is clear, super good and getting better. How you doing, brother? Super good and getting better. Those are wonderful psalms. Absolute clarity. Absolute orientation. And in Western Christianity, this is what is declared to be proof of the favor of God. This is how you're to live. And if you aren't living this way, there's a lack of faith or there's sin in your life. So you just need to find out what your lack of faith is and believe, or there's sin in your life, repent of it, and then we'll all be oriented. And this is how I was raised for the first few years of my Christian life. I was raised in the Word of Faith movement. And I love all my brothers and sisters. The only problem is they teach that everything has to be orientation or reorientation, never disorientation. And if we edit that out, that's what I'm calling the excluded middle. It's sort of like studying history and editing out the Middle Ages. You know, where did the Middle Ages go? Well, we just don't talk about that here. You know, really? You don't talk about the Middle Ages? Well, there's very scant information. Beloved, you got to make sure when you're living life in Christ that you don't edit out reality. We are not here on earth to edit out reality. And when we claim that everything's orientation or reorientation, and we exclude, oh, here's our second, Psalms of Disorientation. Now, I'm going to read a psalm. It's very unique in the Bible. This psalm is Psalm 88, and it's very unique because it's the only psalm in the Bible where there is not, it doesn't resolve. It just sort of leaves you in tension. Now, do you like stories that leave you in tension? No. You watch 30 minutes of a mystery because you're going to see the problem presented, and then you're going to have it solved within 29 minutes, and commercials included. And then you have a sense of resolution. But what if you see a movie that disturbs you and never resolves? Sometimes they make those artistic you know, really hip movies that leave you hanging in midair. Remember, there's a Brad Pitt movie called Babylon, and I remember watching it. It absolutely is disjointed, and it leaves you completely unresolved. Well, Psalms of disorientation, like Psalm 88, they put you in tension, and they leave you there. Here we go. Let's get a little taste of it. Lord, you are a God who saves me. Day and night I cry to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut out from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. Well, let's stop there and take the offering. Psalms of orientation are always, everything is wonderful, but in Psalms of disorientation, oh, it's another world. In Psalms of disorientation, there is, and this is what I call the excluded middle. This is the name of our series for the next few weeks. Why is it called the excluded middle? Because we, especially in Western Christianity, we want to edit this out. We don't want to deal with this. We don't want to hear about it. In fact, if anyone starts talking this way, we rebuke them for negative confessions and tell them it's all good news. I remember I was trying to grow in Christ, and I'd run into trouble, and I was having issues in my life. But every time I brought the issues up, I was told, shh, shh. Come on, pray more. Come on, get out of that. Be orientated or reorientated. Now, what we're going to see is Psalms of orientation, everything's great. Psalms of disorientation, nothing is great. And Psalms of reorientation are after it comes through, like Job, you're going to shine like gold. So it's all going to be okay. But in the meantime, in the middle, it's not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. You see, you have to edit, you have to go into denial and edit reality by cutting out these Psalms of disorientation. In Psalms of disorientation, nothing makes sense. Nothing is as it should be. God is absent. Heaven is silent. Evil is rewarded, good is punished. Reality comes unhinged. Everything is gray. Nothing is just clear and black and white. No answers are given. Chaos and confusion reign. There's an absolute tension without resolution, which leads to anger, rage, lament, and grief. And the resulting response is hopelessness. Well, let's go now. No, I don't want to dismiss you now. But do you, beloved, I want you to see that the flavor of orientation is wonderful, but the flavor of disorientation is challenging. It's real life is difficult, even with Jesus in your heart. That's why we have one another. See, we don't have one another that we can shush one another and say, oh, that's not real. You say you have pain, but just rebuke that. Don't confess that. I was told to not confess most of what I was going through. I was told that it was dishonoring to God if I shared that I was having emotional problems. So who are you going to go to if you're shushed everywhere? Or you're told lack of faith, sin in your life? Two possibilities. Well, beloved, there's a bigger world than just either or. There's both and. God is a God who is the author of life, our entire life. He's the author of everything, and he is working through the blood of his son to redeem every area of our lives. But beloved, when the Lord Jesus became incarnate in human flesh, he was wounded. He was rejected. It was difficult. He really entered in to your skin and my skin, and he really lived. It wasn't a puppet show. Oh, hello, everybody. I'm the Son of God. And then he just dies and he leaves. No, no. He infleshed. He incarnated himself in this world. And he was born, a little baby thing that made a woman cry. And he was raised by his mother. And he loved his family. And he saw all of life in all of its facets. And in the light of all of that, then he gives himself on our behalf, not to remove us from reality, because saved people still live here. Did you notice that? You still live here. You have to eat. You have to have a place to stay, some clothes to wear, not as fancy as mine. But, you know, God bless you. We'll pray for you. But you're incarnated, whether you like it or not, in the real world. And real people have real problems. If you don't, you're lying. You're in denial. You're super good and getting better. How's it going? We had a guy. That's what he said. Super good and getting better. His hair's on fire. His wife left him. His kids are on drugs. And he's in orientation, super good and getting better. Woo! Isn't God good? You're lying. And when you lie in the name of Jesus, you give a God picture impression to this real world that forces them out. They don't want anything to do with people who are nuts. See, if you just edit the Middle Ages out, if you just edit certain books you don't like out of the Bible, that's the Craig Johnson Bible. He's going to come with a pair of scissors, and you can cut out any book you'd I'll recommend the ones I'm cutting out. You just cut out what you don't like, you know, and then you just keep what's left. Now, what we need to realize, though, is Psalms of orientation represent true life, and Psalms of disorientation also represent true life. But, beloved, I want you to see something. Today, we're going to primarily focus on an introduction to what goes on. I want you to see the excluded middle, the Psalms of disorientation, as a tunnel that we're going into for the next few weeks, representative of what's going on in the world in the next 6 months. Okay? We're going to live in this place of tension because a lot happens in the tunnel of disorientation. We just want it to end. We just want to take a pill. You got a pain? Take a pill. Welcome to America. Right? If you don't like something, you go to another church. You go till you get what you want. It's a vending machine. Well, I like the worship there, but it stinks over there, but I like the word here. And we're connoisseurs of going around to get what we want. And if we don't hear what we want to hear, they slipped today. They just weren't in the spirit. Beloved, God wants us as disciplined children to learn what it really means to live in the real world with real people, with real needs. And as we go into the tunnel of disorientation for the next few weeks, I want to show you this third category called the excluded middle, which most of the body of Christ has edited out of the Bible and out of reality. But we are the top 2% of the wealth of the world. We are weird. We're not normal. This is not normal. You eating all the time and having no issues and sleeping comfortably in your lovely home. We are the top 2% of the wealth of the world. This is not reality for the majority of the earth. Yet, to us it is. Orientation. Reorientation, right? That's it. It's always good. Happy days. You're a liar. How can we be salt and light to a world that thinks we're nuts? They come into our services. They see what they see, but they hear what they hear. They enter into an alternate reality in many cases. Like, what's going on? You know? My heart's broken. My wife just left me. And they're dancing and jumping around. And you come on now. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, I'm pointing fingers at all of us. We are Exhibit A, beloved, in this world. And if our interpreter is broken and we're editing out the whole reality of the excluded middle, then real people will not really come to us. They won't trust us. Because we're like offering magic wands and fairy dust. There you go. You still have a problem? What's the matter with you? Put them in the back. We always used to, when we were at Melody Land Christian Center, we always used to see the folk they were putting in the back. My son Michael would be pushed in the back. That's where you kept the handicapped people, out of sight, behind the curtain. And there was a curtain there. And if you were looking for the bathroom, you'd like pull this curtain aside and you go, oh, handicap land. It's like everybody's sitting there. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you know, let's bring them down front, you know? You know, I tell this story. I have a friend of mine in LA and he's a wonderful guy and they have a beautiful church and they were having a healing service and I let them use this pulpit. This was Catherine Kuhlman's pulpit. This was Dr. Walter Martin taught from this, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Oral Roberts, Joyce Meyer, everybody who's anybody used to preach from this pulpit. And so I loaned it to a guy that was fascinated by it because he wanted to preach from it. So I wanted to get it back because he wouldn't give it back. So, lovely Christian gentleman. And so I drove all the way down and I took Michael with me when he was really little and I forgot to bring his wheelchair. Right? So I'm going into the healing service at this radical church because I need to get this and put it in my car. And I've got Michael, my little handicapped boy. So I walk in and they think I'm in for the healing line. And I'm trying to say, no, not that I'm against healing or him receiving healing, but I'm here for something else. So they bring me in the line and I'm standing there. I'm going, no, I don't want to be in the healing line. And as I'm walking, all the people in ministry see him and they're all starting to sweat bullets. We call Michael the deal maker and the deal breaker. Yeah. I'm back there like going, no, don't be under pressure. I'm not here for this. I'm just here. So long story short, I finally made my way out and relieved all the young evangelists that were starting to go, shita papa. Yeah, you better hump and pump. I was wicked enough to almost go up there and work this. I said, Michael, hold on. I'm going to use you here for a minute. No, but I graciously left. And I heal my son, a waterhead baby. Heal my son. Michael, stop that. Mike Fuller got me on the wrong track. So I'm just explaining, no, I'm not here for healing. No, I'm not here for healing. No, please, I don't want healing. He's fine. So I have him now and I have this pulpit and I'm walking out. No one helped me. But the point is, it's like, oh, these poor babies. I wanted them to be relieved that I wasn't really there to put them on the spot. But beloved, we as God's people have to be the most normal folk, the most real people, even about our belief in healing and our belief in deliverance. Beloved, I believe God. I every time I pray, I believe he's going to move. I want him to move. Beloved, I want power more than you want power. I want to see God move. All my life, when I was 5 years old, God promised me I'd be a part of the greatest outpouring of God in human history, and I would see the signs and the wonders and the power of God. And I think many of you have received the same promise, and we're still waiting expectantly. Amen? Let's try. Let's pray again. If it doesn't work, let's go back again. But let's also at the same time be wholesome and balanced and mature Christians who know that psalms of orientation reflect reality, but psalms of disorientation also reflect reality, and psalms of reorientation also reflect reality, but at different times and in different places. Beloved, did you know in this tunnel we'll call the excluded middle, do you know what happens in this season of disorientation? There's a lot of tension. There's a lot that seems like it's Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Remember? She's in her bedroom and she's looking out the window and the Wicked Witch goes by and the Hickory goes by and all these people. And she's like in her room, but she's watching all this. This is where we are in the church world right now. It's going to kick up even more. But don't misinterpret this time. You get two Christians together, you have 10 opinions on every matter. We need to interpret correctly this season of disorientation. Because you know what happens in seasons of disorientation? God moves in this season. He shows up. He shows up. Not when everything's oriented and calm. Not when everything's reoriented after the storm. Remember when Dorothy's house falls? Boom! You know. And then she opens the door and there are midgets everywhere. What's going on? We're going to have the Dorothy experience the next 6 months, right? It's going to go from black and white to color. Then there's a lot of little people and whatever the proper language is. I'm sorry. I'm sure I lost a third of the congregation. I'm not politically correct. The tinier people. God loves everyone. Beloved, it's important for us to not misread. It seems surreal right now, what's going on in the world. And I'm glad everybody's all certain and sure about everything. I'm not. I keep my mouth shut in most issues because I know it's a season of disorientation. So that there's tension. Things aren't resolved yet. And we got to be okay with that. It's like, see, God is our peace in the midst of the storm. We don't need circumstances to be perfect because He is our peace. Happiness is not based on happenings. We need a deep sense of peace. You know the text I put on here? I had Sandra put Philippians 4. Listen to this. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at the last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in a need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Isn't that beautiful? Paul said, honey, it's Dorothy's house. It's crazy outside. But I have peace at the center because He is at the center of my life. It's okay. It's okay. Whatever's going on politically, it's okay. Jesus is Lord. Do you know, beloved, we are supposed to be not political pundits. We are supposed to reflect the abject peace of God to people who are not at peace. We can just look at him and say, it's okay, dear. Let's not major on the minors. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Christ is your peace. The peace he gives the world cannot give. And we're a window to that beauty. And we're a window to stability, not a window to crazy. There's enough crazy going on now. They've got to look through a portal where they see peace, rest, order. Even in the midst of disorientation. Did you know God moves in this season of the excluded middle? This is also where the devil works, as never before, in confusion. There have never been more people deconstructing their Christian faith right now. It's called deconstruction. Literally walking away from their Christian faith in a very informed way. They dismantle every basic reality of the faith. They know all the essentials. They dismantle each one. They resent each one. They reject each one. And they go online now and give their testimonies of deconversion. Get your cup of coffee. It's going to shake a little bit if you want to look some of that up. Because you're like going to go, what the heck is going on? Yeah, right now in this season of disorientation is where the enemy attacks people and where people want to deconvert. It's when people don't know what to think. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what's real in a time. But we are born for a time such as this. Amen. Because we are independent. Paul said, it doesn't matter if I got a Big Mac or I got nothing. I've learned to be independent of my circumstances because Jesus is the center of my life. Thank you very much. I can have everything. I can have nothing. It's not necessary that I simply live in a time where everything is wonderful. It doesn't have to be Psalms of orientation right now in my life or reorientation. Now, do you see what happens when we edit that out, disorientation out? All we have is a mixture. We have two bookends, orientation and reorientation, but we don't have reality. That doesn't reflect reality. In your church, in your marriage, in your personal life. Beloved, every time I deal with couples throughout the years in couple counseling, how can you do couple counseling as a divorced man in a very exquisite way? I've been there. I've done that. And whenever people come in, they give what's called the presenting problem, which is him. She isn't submissive to me. She doesn't respect me. The presenting problem is never about what it's about. It's never about what it's about, ever. Well, yeah, well, what it is this. No, it isn't. Bless your heart. You have to get past the presenting problem And you have to dig a little bit, and you have to go through orientation, reorientation. You have to see disorientation. In the season of the excluded middle, that's what we're calling disorientation, this is where the enemy works. This is where people deconstruct their faith. But this is where God shapes our souls. Beloved, you've grown in Jesus during times of disorientation as in no other time. I want to land in a feather bed, Jesus. I don't want to go through difficulty. Well, honey, wake up and smell the Bible. You are saved. When you're born again, you're justified. You're redeemed from the penalty of sin. That happens in a moment. But then you're sanctified, which is systematically, day by day, being released from the power of sin. That's a lifelong process, sanctification. As long as you're in this earth suit, you are going to be growing and learning, and you're going to be pruned, and God's got the pruning hook and the pruning knife, and it isn't just that you're growing constantly. One day, glorification, you're going to leave this world. You'll leave the presence and power of sin forever. You're going to be in heaven forever. Good news. But we don't want to edit out the middle, sanctification. Okay, I'm born again at 6:15 on the 28th of May. Yes, you are. And if you got in a car accident, you died on such and such a day. But as long as you're alive, you're in this wonderful excluded middle. You're in this space where you mature and you learn to surrender. And you learn for God to be able to remove your old world, to prepare you to receive a new world, and you're just not landing in a feather bed all the time, and it isn't just hallelujah, Jesus, all the time. It isn't always easy to shout, thank you, Jesus. But in times of disorientation, it's when we find our ground in one another. Beloved, are you not thankful for the saints in this house? There's nobody in this house that I don't trust. I come to you with anything. I'd have you pray for me for anything. I'd seek your counsel on any matter. Do you know how rare that is? Rare, sends deep. Because I've got a host of folk that have been raised in disorientation, and they know how to live in the midst of tension not being resolved. And they know how to live in the midst of a child that's making wrong choices. And they don't go crazy and lose their minds and become drug addicts when everything stays a little bit disoriented. But here's the good news. Reorientation does come, thank God. I mean, he does come through. And those psalms are easy to see. David goes, oh God, thank you, Jesus. You pray one way with 100 grand in the bank. You pray another way with 100 grand in debt. I'm Jesus, God, help me, Jesus, God. 100 grand, Father, it's so good to call you Father. Thank you for that $100,000 that coats my way. All is orientation, reorientation in my life. And help these poor, whoever they are, Lord. Let's take that 100 grand. And then you're going to be high, like everybody. Thrown into a storm of disorientation. And did you notice? I remember John Dawson said to me once, he said, you know, Craig, he says, about 10 years, every 10 years, a preacher needs to be publicly humiliated. I went, what? He goes, yeah, it's good for the soul. Publicly humiliated, wiped out, thrown into utter disorder and disorientation. And then people like go, hey, I can relate to you now, buddy. You're pretty real. Do we have to walk around in sewage all the time? No. But we as believers need to know we're living in a time where if you can't read the signs of the times politically and otherwise, you're just going to be another mouth running that people don't need to hear. They need to see your grace. They need to see your stability. They need to see your peace. They need to hear the truth about your life. They need to hear your full testimony, not the PG-13 testimony, the X-rated testimony. They need to see you are a man, woman, boy, or girl that has been through orientation, disorientation, reorientation, because that's what life is made of, all three. We need to be real people with a real faith. And you know, they used to make fun of Abraham Lincoln. They said, you're just a buffoon. They said, Lincoln, with this clownishness, too funny, trying to be funny, making a joke about everything. If they only knew that Lincoln's heart was so broken, he clinically depressed to the point of death, if the man didn't smile and he didn't say something positive, he would have died where he's at. Don't misjudge people. Don't throw out your best friend who you can, you know, God will bring you people when you need them. And it's not the orientation and reorientation folks that have edited out disorientation. I was at a major service a few years back, and I met this lovely young man, and he was just sort of classically trained Word of Faith his whole life. Lovely, handsome, gorgeous family. Everything's super good and getting better. And I said, brother, I said, did you just believe that everything in life is sin or lack of faith? I mean, everything? Like someone was molested when they were little, and they have issues that need to be contained, and God needs to bring them up. There's a lot of disorientation there. Nope, super good and getting better. Lack of faith, sin in your life, or you'll be fine. I said, sir, life's bigger than that. There's a third alternative. There's a whole world of people that can't relate to that because they've been really hurt. Are we expressing the mercy of God, the welcome of God, in terms of being stable, even in the midst of the excluded middle, even in the midst of disorientation? I had a woman tell me once, she said, Pastor Craig, I didn't kill myself because I watched what you walked through in your life with dignity. Your messages are great, they're always biblical, but she said, I watched your life. I watched you go through impossible storms. I watched you walk through crocodiles. I watched you. And she goes, I didn't kill myself because I said, if he can do that and function, I can do that. That's the finest thing I've ever heard in my life. I can go to heaven on that. That's it. If I've never helped another human being. I remember David told me once, he said, Pastor Craig, you're walking through stuff in your life that it's not been about you for years. It's just people are watching you. Friends and enemies, everybody's watching. How is he surviving? Is he okay? Is he okay?
That's the testimony.
That's the testimony. Jesus, our Lord, wants to be so intimate with us. He wants to hold on to us. He wants to be our exceeding great reward. Did you see that text that was in the handout? The very first text doesn't seem to make sense. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. God says, yeah, I know you want a kid and all that stuff. You can have that, but aren't I enough? Abraham, you have me. Do you really need to be freaking out about the kid? I'll give you kids. But, you know, I used to come home from the Holy Land and Brooke was 3 years old and she would jump on my neck and hug me and greet me as she was reaching in the backpack to find the toy I brought her. I was a little conflicted because daddy wanted to be loved for who he was and welcomed back for who he was. But my three-year-old did that. I was a means to an end, her looking to see the toy. I said, baby, wait 5 seconds for the toy and let daddy believe this was all real. Don't you want to be loved for you? Amen. Accepted for who you are. Not a means to an end, but an end in and of yourself. Amen. That's what God wants for us. And in the next few weeks, I just am going to throw a little bit of everything together. I want to touch on some interesting things going on in the culture. I'm not going to comment politically, but what I am going to do is show you trends and threads in our time that you will see only in the excluded middle, only in this hallway we call the excluded middle. And it'll be so clear to you. It's going to be like, of course! Because depending on what media you're listening to and who you have interpreting these facts, you know, there are no facts, there are interpret facts. Every fact you ever see comes through an interpretive grid. Left, right, center, whatever it is, I can tell you who you're listening to, what you're going to hear. But that's beside the facts. That's an interpret fact. Every fact you get has already come through an interpretive grid. So you think that you're really keeping up on the facts and you're being fed a line, no matter who you're watching. But as Christians, that's why we have to think independently. We have to be critical thinkers. And we have to make sure that the main things are the plain things. And instead of wanting to know everything going on in the world, Why don't you put your head near the chest of Jesus and hear what he's saying right now? Habakkuk put it this way. He said, we've heard what everyone said, but I'm going to go to my tower and I'm going to hear what he says to me. All that matters right now, beloved, in the midst of this season of the excluded middle disorientation, is that you hear his precious voice. And it's always a still, small voice. Amen. We need to be peacemakers now. This is our time to shine in the middle of crazy. We can be calm, respectable, trustworthy, real. We don't edit the Middle Ages out of our school classes. Father, I thank you so much for every one of my brethren today. I'm talking to precious saints that have endured strong seasons in their lives. Disorientation. I thank you, Lord. We just give you praise right now for all you've kept us from and all you've brought us through, Jesus. Lord, it's been a tunnel of disorientation. And I thank you, God, that you brought us, you saved us there in that tunnel of the excluded middle. You've redeemed and delivered us in the midst of this tunnel. The devil is assaulting and trying to deconstruct the faith of millions. But God, we're going to see the greatest outpouring of God in human history in this excluded middle, in this time of disorientation. And we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory, Lord, because one word that comes from your mouth will never go unfulfilled. Lord, what you've promised each of us, Lord, with regard to our lives, our ministries, our callings, you never lie, and you will. Bring fulfillments to your children in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give praise? Can you give the Lord a hand of praise? Yet the Lord who's brought you out of disorientation, the Lord who loves you. Amen, Michael.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.